Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's scripture reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 44 through 48. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no man can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days.
Amen.
If you'll allow me a quick prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come together here to hear your word. Lord, I know you have a message for each and every one of us today. I ask that you help us put on the blinders to any distractions, to open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, to the message you want us to hear today. In Jesus' name, I thank you for that. I thank you for your word. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good morning, and happy Sabbath. And for those online as well joining us, good morning and happy Sabbath too. You know, it's fascinating, Heather, that you would stop and pray. I really like spontaneous praise. When things go not precisely as planned, there are the extra blessings of the Lord. And that was beautiful, Heather. You know, it's nice when we come to worship and have some spontaneity, you know. It's good. It's very good. How do you feel about worshiping God? Do you get excited when you see the Sabbath coming? When you know believers of like mind are going to come together from different parts of our state, different, you know, cities and villages and towns where we can come together to worship God. Do you get excited about the next Sabbath? Sabbath school. What a joy it is that I can come to Sabbath school and, you know, interact with each other and hear the questions that Brother Luke and Brother Alvin asked this morning. It's such a beautiful thing. Brother Elias gives his heart in sharing Sabbath school. What a joy that is when we can learn together. Do you know that as the church pastor, I learn from you too? The questions you ask, the comments you make, those are not my questions and my comments, but you get my mind to go in a certain dimension. You know, and when you talk about some teaching on the sanctuary, you struck a chord in my heart because that's one of my areas of specialty. I love the sanctuary teaching. So we will see how we're going to make this happen, you know. And by the way, our evangelist who is coming, Pastor Sean Brizendine, he really likes the subject of the sanctuary too. So, you know, I may put a bug in his ear. Yes, so he may share on that grand theme as well. Today, I am excited to be in church. Today, I am still standing on top of my grave. Today, I am still vertical. And I have a friend who is a police officer in Chicago. He says, any day above ground is a good day. And you know, Chicago is one of the most dangerous cities in America to police. That's where he's at. And so I keep him in prayers, you know. Very recently he reached out to me and he says, you know, man, I just want to let you know I appreciate you. And keep me in your prayers. I just needed some encouragement today. And I was able to share the word of God with him. And what a joy it did for his heart. He's not a Seventh-day Adventist. But we keep sharing the word. Keep encouraging him in the ways of God, you know. And so my sermon topic today is the Holy Spirit fell. Let us pray together. Eternal God and our Father, since we've come to this, your house of worship today, we came in for Sabbath school and we are now entered into the church service, Lord, and we're at the point where the spoken word is coming through to us. And Lord, we're going to ask again that from your own throne in heaven, from your own sanctuary there, that you will speak to our minds and hearts now, that we will be refreshed from being in the presence of the Lord. We'll be encouraged, Lord, in this walk with you. And Father, we will find new fire to go out there and to spread the good news of who Jesus is and that you are coming soon. Lord, give us new hearts today. Remove the hearts of stone and give us hearts of flesh in its place. And Jesus, help us to have a full encounter with you now. This is our prayer and our asking in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. As you open your Bibles on the very first page in Genesis, the very first chapter and the very first verse, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the Hebrew, it would sound something like this. Bereshith, bara, Elohim, ha, hashamayim, ha, haaretz. In beginnings created the gods, the heavens and the earth. And by the way, the word there is plural for gods, Elohim. That's the first giveaway that we look at to know that God is more than one person. Amen? Because it uses the plural there, Elohim. In the beginning, God created the heavens, plural. The Bible teaches there are three heavens, right? You know that. Genesis 1 verse 15, Genesis 1 verse 20, and 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verses 2 and 3. Paul talks there about the third heavens. And so it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And guess who was involved? In verse 2, it says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the next sentence says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. There are people today, even within our beloved Seventh-day Adventist Church, who are denying who the Holy Spirit is. They are stripping him of his divinity, and I tell you, that's Babylon. That's not teaching from heaven. The Holy Spirit is as much God as Jesus Christ is God. The Holy Spirit is as much God as the one we call God the Father is God. And here in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, we see him right in action there at creation, hovering over the face of the deep, the face of the waters. The Holy Spirit. Sometimes, in this fast-paced world, don't we feel like we too are without form and void? Do you get that empty feeling sometimes? Well, if the Holy Spirit could create the cosmos when it was in a state of being void and without form, he can certainly do something about our voidness and our formlessness in this fast-paced age. Things are changing so rapidly. They seem to be moving as fast as they come up with a new cell phone, a new number. I remember when they first rolled out iPhones, and today I guess they're at 12 or 13. I don't even know where they are today. That's how fast things are turning. And life itself seemed to be on this, this fast, this great turnover. And in the last year and 3 months or so, since this pandemic hit the world, so much has changed. Some people have given up faith. Did you know that? Some people have quit believing in God because a simple trial called COVID-19 came on the world. I wouldn't give God up for that. As a matter of fact, if anything, COVID-19 has driven me closer to the side of God. Trials and tests we will have to face, but we should, in the face of these trials and tests, proclaim God even louder, more fervently, more frequently. And so here we see the Holy Spirit at work, and he was giving shape and form to this formless, vast, chaotic week of creation. The Holy Spirit was right there, putting things in order. And friends, the enemy of all righteousness, when he presses in with doubt and darkness upon our souls, let us turn to the Holy Spirit and we will find help. He's able. And I want to tell you that trials and tests, fears and doubts, those are normal on this side of probation. That is to be expected on this side of eternity. I want to remind you today that every inch of ground over which we will travel to heaven will be contested. We have an enemy that will not roll over and surrender. And every day of our lives, every week of our lives, every moment of our lives, every month of our lives, he'll be fighting and harassing us as we confess Christ. And we all know that story too well. But my encouragement today, don't give up. Press on with Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, let's do a comparison now. The Holy Spirit or Satan, who is better? Come on, let me hear you talk it. Who is better, the Holy Spirit or Satan? The Holy Spirit is a better person, right? Who is the stronger of the two, the Holy Spirit or Satan? I hear two for the Holy Spirit. I don't hear anything for the devil yet. Now, who is God, the Holy Spirit or Satan? The Holy Spirit. So three for the Holy Spirit. So in your experience, who will you let win, the Holy Spirit or Satan? I hear the Holy Spirit again. I want you to know today that Satan is no match for the Holy Spirit. And so if we side, if we link up with the Holy Spirit, we are linking with the one who is all powerful. The Holy Spirit is Almighty God. He is eternal. And you know what? He's present everywhere. The devil is limited. How many of you knew that the devil was not omnipresent? Satan is not omnipresent. He can only be in one place at one time. Didn't you realize that? Yeah, the devil is limited. He can only do so much and no more. God, the Holy Spirit, is the one who is omnipresent. He's the one who is unlimited and has unlimited power. And so we have to draw these equations to realize that, after all, the devil has more bark than bite, because the Holy Spirit will take the sting out. Amen. And so when you go through your trials and you feel them pressing on your soul, just know that as you turn to the Holy Spirit, those trials, they weaken. Those trials all of a sudden become bearable. Those trials all of a sudden become conquerable. Because with the Holy Spirit, we are made more than conquerors. Amen? He is able. He is able. Yes, I want you to know today that if you surrender all, see, all God's promises are conditional. If you surrender all, your will, your choice, your likes and dislikes, your pleasure and your pain, your appetite and your joy, your sorrows and your tests, your temptations and, yes, your pride. If you surrender all to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will himself hover over you like he did over creation. He will bring order to your life out of the chaos that comes your way. The Holy Spirit, he will anoint you. He will shield you. He will protect you and encourage you. He will empower you to be victorious in this eternal contest. Surrender your all to Christ now. Now is the time to let the Holy Spirit in. Let Him in. That is the only way you can be a real Christian. That is the only way you can be a genuine and a bona fide Seventh-day Adventist. Let the Holy Spirit fall on you. Amen. Fundamental belief number 5 of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I will read it for you. It says, God the Eternal Spirit was active with the Father and the Son in creation, incarnation, and redemption. Amen. He is as much a person as are the Father and the Son. And that's almost a direct quote from the book Evangelism, starting at page 613 and working your way down there in that book Evangelism. See, He is as much a person as are the Father and the Son. He inspired the writers of the scripture. He filled Christ's life with power. He draws and convicts human beings, and those who respond, He renews and transforms into the image of God. Sent by the Father and the Son to be always with His children, He extends spiritual gifts to the church, empowers the church to be a witness to Christ, and in harmony with the scriptures, leads the church into all truth. End of quote. Does that sound about right? That's our official statement of belief about the Holy Spirit. Now, I'd like you to grab your Bibles, and maybe this is where we need a roving mic or two. I would like you to participate in this presentation today by simply reading scripture text for me. We have several. I'm going to call for them. So if we can maybe have two roving mics, that will help us at this time. So we can see some passages in scripture about the Holy Spirit. So do we have a couple of mics available? In the meantime, while we get the mic, I would like us to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 23, Old Testament. Yes, the Holy Spirit was present from Old Testament times. I just showed you. He was right there at creation. 2 Samuel chapter 23. The 2 Samuel chapter 23, and we are looking at the second verse. I will read that one for you as we get started. 2 Samuel 23 and verse 2. It says here, the Spirit of the Lord spoke by me. Amen. These were the last words of David, you know. He said, the Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and His word was on my tongue. Whose word? The Spirit's word. The Holy Spirit spoke through David. And David was making confession of that. Now, I'd like someone to read Psalm 51, verse 11. Very well-known psalm. And this verse is very well-known as well. As a matter of fact, it was a part of David's prayer. All right. So, Sister Teresa is going to read that one for us right there. Yes, so Psalm 51, verse 11. And then, Brother Elias, your hand was raised. If you would read for us Isaiah 61, verse 1. So the mic will come to you shortly. Let's hear Psalm 51, 11.
Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me.
Amen. So David's prayer of confession, and this was after he committed murder. He sent Uriah to die on the front line and took his wife Bathsheba, mother of Solomon. He prayed in repentance, and part of his prayer in Psalm 51, 11 says, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Whoever the Spirit is withdrawn from is eternally lost. Without the Spirit, we can't even repent. Psalm 51, 11 says so. Isaiah 61 and verse 1.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath appointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound.
Amen. So the prophet Isaiah, there in Isaiah 61 verse 1, you know, he said way back then, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel. And it tells the practical things that we should do right there in the verse. Heal the brokenhearted, help the sick, all that is listed right there. That work that the Spirit said. Now, did you know that Christ quoted that exact verse? This was probably his first sermon, public sermon after he was baptized in the Jordan. Luke chapter 4. Let's go to Luke chapter 4 and we're going to read verse 18. Is there a taker for Luke 4, 18? Who'd like to read that one for us? Luke 4, verse 18. All right, so Jim has that one, Luke. Jim will read for us Luke 4 and verse 18.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised.
Amen. And don't move, since you're in Luke, if he goes to Luke 1 verse 35 as well, Jim. And while you turn there, I want you to see that Luke 4 verse 18 is a direct quote from Isaiah 61 verse 1. Same exact thing. And by the way, I want to ask, do we have that same mission today? Should we set that liberty, those who are in captivity to sin? Should we heal the brokenhearted? Should we restore sight to the blind? People who don't know Jesus, should we be out there doing this in the community? Yes, we should. Christ's messianic work that he did, he has sent us to extend his messianic work in the communities where we live and work and play and worship. Luke 1 verse 35.
And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God.
Amen. So we see the Holy Spirit directly responsible here for the incarnation. The messenger telling Mary there that the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. He's going to overshadow you. And that child you're going to bear will be called the Son of God. The Holy Spirit involved in the incarnation. We saw in Genesis the Holy Spirit involved in the creation. And I want to let you know that the Holy Spirit is also involved in our redemption. By the way, you know that none of us can go to heaven without being sealed by the Spirit, right?
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereunto you are sealed unto the day of redemption. It's the Holy Spirit that does the sealing work. You go to the prophetic book of Revelation. In chapter 7, it tells us that John says, I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. The Holy Spirit does the sealing work. Without the Holy Spirit, none of us can be holy. And without holiness, none of us can see God in peace. We need the Holy Spirit. Is there another volunteer to read for us? If so, I'll tell you what your verse is. All right, so Heather is next. So if you go to John chapter 14, Heather. John chapter 14, verses 16 through to 18. And verse 26. So John chapter 14. Is there another reader after Heather reads? Is there another reader? All right, so Brother Elias is going to read for us. So you will then take John 15, verse 26, my elder. Now, is there one more reader still in the book of John? One more reader. All right, Sister Teresa is going to read. And so you'll take John chapter 16. And this is a longer passage. It's verses 7 through to 13. We want to read them in church today, you know. We want to read them. We are in church after all. So now we're going to go with John chapter 14, 16 to 18 and verse 26. Go ahead.
Starting with 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever have said unto you.
Amen. Amen. So you see the Holy Spirit. And you can move around to 30 in the meantime, Luke. You see the Holy Spirit, they're very involved in teaching us the teachings of Christ, the things of Christ, bringing to remembrance the things that Christ has taught us. And learning the Word of God is very, very integral in our whole experience of salvation. As a matter of fact, we are made clean through the Word of God. John 15, verse 3, Jesus says, you are already clean because of the words that I have spoken unto you. So, Elder Elias, now, if you go for us in chapter 15, verse 26.
But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even a Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me.
Amen. The Spirit of truth, Jesus says, will testify of me. He proceeds from the Father. He comes forth from the Father, and he's going to testify of me. So did you realize then that when we learn about Jesus, it's the Holy Spirit that is giving us conviction and understanding? That's how important the role of the Holy Spirit is. Sister Teresa, in chapter 16 now, verses 7 through to 13.
Okay. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not of me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come.
Amen and amen. And you see the personal pronouns there for the Holy Spirit. It's all he and him. The Holy Spirit is not a place or a thing. The Holy Spirit is a divine person, the third power of the Godhead. And we see him doing conviction and of righteousness and of judgment, etc. We see the Holy Spirit very much involved in our redemption, in our salvation. Amen? Yes, you know, people call their pets him and her, and yet we call God it. Yeah. We call our animals him and her, and then we look at the Holy Spirit and call him it. I think it's time we change our vocabulary and refer to the Holy Spirit as God. Amen? And God, he is. God, he is. Now, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, I'll read that one for you. We see Jesus telling something here to his disciples. In Acts 1 and verse 8, Jesus says, but you shall receive power. Let me see your hands today if you want power. Amen. I see some hands going up. Jesus tell you how to get power. It's not to get in Biden or Trump or whoever the next one going to be. That's not the power. Amen. Jesus says to get power is not who is your congressman or the senator, right? Jesus says the way that Christian gets power is how. It's here in Acts 1 verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You want real power? Turn into the Holy Spirit. Amen? This is the power we need. This is real power. It says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And when you have power, what are you going to do? You shall be my witnesses in Elmira, Horsheads, Lauman, Wellsburg, you shall be my witnesses in Chemung County. You shall be my witnesses in upstate New York. You shall be my witnesses in the United States of America. You shall be my witnesses on the North American continent. You shall be my witnesses across all continents and across the whole world. Jesus says, start right where you are. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall receive power. And you shall start as my witnesses right in the city where you are located. And you are to extend beyond that. We can look at how this Seventh-day Adventist church got started. How many of you know where the Seventh-day Adventist church got started? Right here in the northeastern corner of the United States. And it has spread from here clear around the world. Did you know that there are two, we have 13 Seventh-day Adventist divisions around the world. Did you know that? And divisions or sub-offices of the General Conference. We have 13 such divisions around the world. Did you realize that two of them are headquartered here in the lower 48 of mainland United States of America? Did you realize that? The North American division is based right here in the United States. And Inter-American division, the largest division in the world, is based out of Miami, Florida. Did you know that? There are two division headquarters here in the United States. And the General Conference headquarters of the Seventh-day Adventist Church is based here in the United States. Why do you pay attention to that? The United States play a very important role in end time prophecy. And we know that in this land there is coming a national Sunday law. We know that every other country on the globe will follow the American example and will usher in the mark of the beast. That is prophecy. God says so. Jesus sends that through the testimonies to testify in the church. And when that comes, we know Christ is going to shake himself from his high priestly position. He's going to put on his kingly robes. And he's going to come and pick up his saints from all this world, because this world is doomed. Jesus says himself in Acts 1 and verse 8. And so if we are in the church and we lack power, it's no fault of God's. Nobody's fault but mine. Each of us individually, we have to take that responsibility. If we are in the church and we lack power, it is because we have not taken responsibility to ask God for power. Because Jesus says in Acts 1 verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Godly power. Lasting power. Real power. Eternal power. Power that sin loses its hold upon us. It's sad when as Christians we make sin look like it is stronger than God. As a Seventh-day Adventist church, we're called to tell the world about God and his Ten Commandments and bringing humankind back into obedience to God. We don't even like that word anymore, obedience. Ah, I'm a Christian, but I have this or that addiction. Is God not powerful enough to break any addiction? I am a Christian, but the but here is the real one. But you shall receive power. That's the real but that we want. Amen? We should realize that we have access to unlimited power. Ah, I think it's good time we stop making excuses for ourselves. One person say amen. It's good time we stop making excuses for ourselves. The Holy Spirit is here to help us to be overcomers, to be victorious, to live for Christ here and now. How many of you here is planning on bringing your pet sin to heaven? How many of you? I don't see one witness, and praise the Lord, we understand that. Now, when do you plan to get rid of your pet sin? The day of your death? Or the day when Jesus Christ comes? Oh, it's now. Now is the time to get rid of sin. So here's a question I'm going to raise, and we've battled this one theologically in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Can we, by the grace of God, live without sin now? Yes. Yes and amen. And that's something that we've kind of been losing sight of, as though we have to please Satan even here and there. We don't need to please Satan in anything. We need to please God in everything. And God is able to keep us from falling. God is able to make us live out Christ's own righteousness. Now, that's what perfection is, by the way. It's living out the life of Christ in us here and now. Power. These are the words of Jesus Christ himself. He says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the end of the earth. And you know, in the book of Acts chapter 5, you know, verses 3 and 4, we see this story with Ananias and Sapphira, right? They sold this property and it was in their power, but they conspired to keep back a part of the price, pretending as though they gave the full amount. And you know the story. In verse 3, Peter says, why have you conspired to lie to the Holy Spirit? And in verse 4, Peter says, you have not lied unto man, but you have lied unto God. Right there in those two verses, the Holy Spirit is God. Right there in the verse. And then in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, this was the story with Peter in vision there, you know. He had visions, you know, about this great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. And he was wondering what it should mean because he heard a voice saying, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And he said, no, Lord, not so. I've never eaten anything common or unclean. And in verse 38, it says, Peter spoke of how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. There goes the term again. Who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And you can see in Romans 5 and verse 5 that it's the Holy Spirit that sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives us the power to love. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through to 11, you can see the way the Holy Spirit give gifts, spiritual gifts unto men. He's the one that empowers the church to do the work of God. And 2 Peter 1:21 talks about how the Spirit moves upon holy men of God. And so they wrote the Bible. They spoke, they wrote the word of God. Now, having looked at those Bible texts describing various functions and characteristics of the Holy Spirit, I want to turn your attention by tracking you back to our main passage of meditation today. And I'll begin with a quote from Ellen White. She says, the time had come for an entirely new phase of work to be entered upon by the Church of Christ. The door that many of the Jewish converts had closed against the Gentiles was now to be thrown open, and the Gentiles who accepted the gospel were to be regarded as on an equality with the Jewish disciples without the necessity of observing the rite of circumcision. Acts of the Apostles, page 136. On that same page, she says, how carefully the Lord worked to overcome the prejudice against the Gentiles that had been so firmly fixed in Peter's mind by his Jewish training. By the vision of the great sheet and its contents, God sought to divest the apostles' mind of this prejudice and to teach the important truth that in heaven there is no respect of persons, that Jew and Gentile are alike precious in God's sight, that through Christ the heathen may be made partakers of the blessings and privileges of the gospel. End of quote. Even Peter, an apostle of Christ, harbored prejudice against Gentiles, taught by his traditions. And God had to work upon the mind of Peter that he could let go of his prejudice and accept the Gentiles as being his equals. Peter, you know, at one time Paul had to withstand him to his face and rebuke him, because Peter, who was one of the earliest God sent out to have this conversion with Cornelius to lead him into truth, then when some of his brethren came down from Jerusalem, he backed up and separated from the Gentiles, and Paul had to confront him about that. You know, when you read through Acts 10, 34 to 43, Peter preached a powerful sermon there. He somewhat rehearsed some of the history of Israel, and then he went in particular into Christ and his mission, his crucifixion, his resurrection, and his ascension to heaven. Peter went through that to Cornelius and those who had gathered in Cornelius' house. And by the time he was done, he had an appeal to make, which is our scripture reading today. It says he was there giving the sermon, and in verse 44 of Acts chapter 10, while Peter was still speaking these words, here comes the title of my sermon, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. I want you to notice that the Holy Spirit is directly connected with his own word. After all, he's the one that gave the scriptures. And so, connected with this last outpouring of the latter rain of the Holy Spirit in the end times, also connected with the Holy Spirit in his outpouring on the church on the day of Pentecost, is a deep and sincere and earnest studying of God's word and surrendering to its demands. If we're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit in 2021, if we're going to be filled with this Holy Spirit today, we must be centered on Christ's word, the Bible. There'll be no revival without God's word. There'll be no revival without personal soul searching and personal searching the word of God to make sure our lives are aligned with its teachings. Peter was here preaching the word, and while he was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision, that's his six brethren who traveled from Joppa with Peter to go see Cornelius. These were six Jewish brethren. You know, Acts 11 verse 12 tells you the number is six. And it says, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. Why were they astonished? Because they had traditional teaching that when the Messiah came, no proselytes, no non-Jew would be accepted in the commonwealth of Israel. That's so exclusive and self-centered they had become. There was no space for the Gentiles, to which God had made them ambassadors to go to the Gentiles and teach them the way of God. But they become shut up unto themselves. I'm going to echo a warning in God's Seventh-day Adventist Church today. We are in a similar danger of being shut up unto ourselves. We have, you know, I was just mentioning the gym between Sabbath school and now, we just had a brief talk there. We have a message, the message of the sanctuary, the three angels' messages, the health message. We have a message to the world, and if we compromise that message, we are in big trouble, just like the Jews. And if we keep this message to ourselves and are ashamed to share it, we are in big trouble. This is a message God wants us to tell from the rooftops. God wants to tell us in the malls and the places of business. God wants us to put it on TV and the airwaves. God wants us to tell everyone this message. Like the Jews, sometimes you might become shut up unto ourselves for whatever reason. It could be pride. It could be because we are bashful about our message. We are shameful that our message is so distinct from others. And like Israel back then, we want to be like the nations around. Why is it we don't share the Advent message? Why should we have to apologize for this message that God has given to us to share with the world? Why are we not spreading this good news? You're not in your workplace just to make a living. No, you're in your workplace to spread Christ. You're not in right retirement just to enjoy the money you've earned. You're in retirement to spread Christ. Amen? You're not in school just to get an education. You're in school as a missionary for Christ. And wherever we go, we are ambassadors, messengers for Christ. And I believe the lack of doing our work is because we lack the Holy Spirit. That's why the message today is the Holy Spirit fell. We should be praying that the Holy Spirit fall upon us. It says, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. There are many more things that could have been said today. Time is running out. Literally and symbolically. Time is running out. As I conclude today, I want to use these words of Ellen G. White to make this particular point. In the book Acts of the Apostles, page 12, she says, during ages of spiritual darkness, the church of God has been as a city set on a hill. From age to age, through successive generations, the pure doctrines of heaven have been unfolding within her borders. Enfeebled and defective as it may appear, the church is the one object upon which God bestows, in a special sense, his supreme regard. It is the theater of his grace, in which he delights to reveal his power to transform hearts. How is your heart? How is your home? How is our church? Is your heart, your home, our church, the theater of God's grace? Do we see the Holy Spirit transforming lives, our own lives, the lives in our own homes, and the lives in our church and the community that the church serves? My brothers and sisters, I want to say to each one today, of all the things for which God is going to hold us accountable, none is so serious as the account for what we do with our time. What do you do with your time? The strictest account that we'll have to give to God is as to what we have done with our time. Did you realize that in terms of our funds, God makes a direct claim only upon one-tenth? With our time, God makes a direct claim upon one-seventh. One-seventh of time is holy to God. The Sabbath, one in seven. The tithes, one in ten. May I appeal to your minds and hearts today. As we're about to sing that song, hymn number 260, which is a prayer, which is what the Holy Spirit did at creation, hover over me, Holy Spirit. As we're about to sing that song, it's a prayer we're going to be praying in song today. I want to say to each one of us today, before we walk out of this sacred space, let us make our calling and election true with Christ. Let us ask the Holy Spirit personally, even while we're singing, let us ask the Holy Spirit to fall upon us. By God's grace, let us not leave this place the way we came today. Amen. We have a 1 week evangelistic series coming in September. What are we going to do between now and then to get other people interested to hear about Christ in the unique perspective he has given the Seventh-day Adventists to tell to the world? How many people will you personally bring to these meetings? As you pray in the Spirit, there are people within your sphere of influence. You may not be the Bible scholar to give them the Bible teaching and everything, but you can invite them to come out to these meetings. Amen. You can invite them. You can, from now, before we get to September, don't wait till then, from today, from tonight, from tomorrow, begin to call them up on the phone and invite them to these meetings. Take some of the glow tracks and the different ones we have in the rack out there and begin to talk with them earnestly about their salvation. Ask them, what are you going to do when Jesus comes? Ask them, have them answer that question for you. What are you going to do when Jesus comes? The world is teaching us not to believe that there is a God, or there's any accountability, or there's any judgment day. But that's false. God is real. Christ is coming back. There is a judgment day. Brothers and sisters, we have a work to do. I don't know how much time we have left. But what I can encourage everyone to do, the time that we do have left, which is now, let us use it wisely for Christ. Let us ask the Holy Spirit to use us to do his biddings. Let's stand together, stretch our legs a little bit, practicing one of the laws of health, and get the blood flowing in a different direction. Let's open up those lungs and take some air in, and let's belch out a prayer to God in song. Hymn number 260. But I want to say, keep staying close to Christ. And you know there are many reasons why. There's nothing sweeter than pleasing God. That's the first reason. Nothing sweeter than pleasing God. When you can put a smile on the face of God, you've done your duty. Amen? That is our reasonable service. Yes, and the truth is, we never know when our last day on earth is. We can die. But if we die in Christ, no problem. We'll actually not feel too bad if you were to die in Christ, or if I was to die ahead of you and I died in Christ. You wouldn't feel too bad, because at least we know we'll see each other on the resurrection morning. Amen? Amen. And the reality is, we are living in perilous times. But with Christ, we are more than conquerors. Amen? So I just want to bring those things to your mind. You know, we have some great things ahead coming over the summer and going forward. And we're asking God to lead us in the path of righteousness and to use us to lead others there. Amen? How many of you are pledged that you're going to make a very intentional effort now to reach out to more people? That's a good pledge today. People out there, they are thirsting for something. They don't know exactly what. And we know that it is their thirsting for Christ. And since we know Christ, let us introduce them to our best friend. Amen? Let us pray together. Father and our God, a group of us, after we have closed services and fellowship meal here today, we'll be going off to Ithaca to hike in nature, God's second book. Help us while we are there, Lord, to remember the Holy Sabbath, to keep it holy. And help our conversations to be heavenly, to be uplifting for one another. Quite a size group will be joining us from the Ithaca Church, including the church pastor over there, Pastor Brown. And we have some coming up from the Tioga County Church. At least three people from there will be joining us on this hike as well. So we're going to have a good group, Lord. And we are praying that your spirit will move upon us as we do that hike. But besides, Lord, I'm asking to be with every person present here today. And publicly, Lord, I want to pray for Joan today. You know, she lost her son very recently. And there's a court battle coming up. And I'm asking for victory in that battle as well. That little Jacob will be in the right home that he should be. I want to lift up all our church members, Lord, who have been absent for a while. And some who have been absent recently. I want to pray for Sister Martha today, Lord, who had that fall. And pray that your spirit will heal her and make her entire being whole. Be with Brother Alvin, Lord, and every single person in his congregation, each child, each young adult, each youth, and each grown up. Fill us all with your spirit, Lord, and may we go from this place empowered. As we sit at this fellowship meal, Lord, we thank you for this privilege. We ask your blessing upon the meal, that as we partake, Lord, we will just enjoy the fellowship of one another, knowing that you are in our midst. Thank you for your word today. Give us a new conversion experience, Lord. Fill us with your spirit. And when we leave this facility, may we go rejoicing. Thank you, Lord, for also closing so we could close on the sale of our school. And thank you, Jesus, that is now in new hands. And thank you for your deliverance in all of that too. Bless us, Lord, and help us to go forward committed, leading others to you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen.